cannot tell you. I can't tell you how much I'd like to let the first chorus of the words of this song go, but I'm afraid I'd have to edit it to get it up to the network because apparently, a few people found it offensive, which I'm actually shocked about. It should not be the words of the song that are offensive. It should be the mentality that created that particular song to be written. Welcome. Good evening. Or welcome back, or it seems like I haven't been here for at least 20 minutes. Welcome to another hour of life, liberty, and all that jazz. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You're listening to us live this evening on Republic Broadcasting, the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I think I'm glad to be here, although I'm not sure what tomorrow or today may bring, etc. It's been a long day, and I have many hours to go before I sleep. We've spent nearly the last between 3 and 4 hours, for those of you who've been with us this length of time, discussing all things economic. And in a roundabout way, I chose not to do that tonight. You know, you've heard it. There's nothing I can say to improve upon the issue. I wish that there was something I could do to improve on the situation for the average American, but it just can't be done. You know, Bernanke opened up his mouth today, and now all of a sudden he's a big debt hawk, and he says that, you know, he's urging congressional action on the deficit. Well, good Lord, Bernanke. I mean, you know, you've just not been all that sharp with the whole thing. And, of course, all of this goes on, and the Dow is up 123 points today. I swear that Wall Street is betting against America. Dow up 123, NASDAQ up 39, S&P 500's up 16, global Dow's up a point, gold's up a couple of bucks in the after hours at 1527, and yet oil's climbing again. Oh, yeah, up 19 cents back at 99.56 a barrel. Another headline talks about banks' recent slide raises the recovery questions. What's Ben going to do? It's pretty appalling. Amazing. But that's just about the end of my economic discussion for today. I just, like I say, you've heard it. We don't need to add any more to it. You remember the maid that claimed she'd been raped by Dominique Strauss-Kahn? When we come back, I'm going to drop a couple of tidbits with you about her. She and Obama have some things in common, we think. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
A series of stories or rumors, in fact, are out there today. One of them coming from Corsi over at WorldNet Daily, talking about the Obama forgers admit that they produce phony documents. You know, of course, you're talking about the phony birth certificate and all this other nonsense. Well, that's the end of that commentary. However, coming out of the Business Insider today, in reference to a New York Times article, the defense team for Dominique Strauss-Kahn claims that it has evidence that severely undermines the maid's credibility. Now, you remember Kahn. He's the guy who allegedly sodomized this hotel maid when he was in New York City. He since has stepped down as the head of the International Monetary Fund, and things go on and on and on. Of course, his name, Kahn, this we just say is not indicative that he was of Southern Baptist background or heritage. Kahn, of course, can be spelled K-A-H-N or C-O-N. They mean much the same thing. Someday I'll tell you the story of Genghis Khan, or was it Kublai Khan? I can never remember which. But many people have been anxiously awaiting to learn more about the maid and the seemingly scandalous evidence. But based on the woman's two-page life story, which was posted recently in the New York Times, it seems implausible that this so-called evidence exists. But then I have to look. For the most part, she has an uplifting story of coming from Africa, where she was born in a mud hut lacking electricity, and quietly working her way up by working hard. At one point, she served African stew at a small restaurant in the Bronx. In school, she mostly focused on learning the Quran. Well, that's kind of interesting. There certainly are the stories that another individual we know of was, in effect, born in a mud hut, lacking electricity. He quietly worked his way up. Working hard had nothing to do with it. At one point, he probably ate some African stew at a small restaurant in Chicago or wherever Columbia University is, if he ever attended, etc. But the other similarity is this business about focusing on learning the Quran. Enough of that story. The other story that I'm finding more and more intriguing as more and more comes out happens to do with our boy of the week, Wiener. You see, Wiener is purportedly another one of the non-Southern Baptist crowd. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to hold that against him. And when the photos of he and his one-year-old bride came out, the photos that were shown, she was quite an exquisite-looking gal. And then little by little, the stories begin to come out that back in 2007, Wiener apparently proposed some legislation that would have caused some real problems for Saudi Arabia. Well, it now turns out that his wife is Saudi Muslim. I can't figure this out. A Saudi Muslim and a supposed Jew marrying. And now all of this comes about around about the time of the one-year anniversary of their wedding. Was she a sleeper? Was she sent to get the guy for his having smacked down Saudi Arabia? Interesting stuff. There's an article that came out last night, which I was unable to work on any of my websites last night. I had a marvelous dinner with three amazing people from Gold Star Trust Company. Now, Gold Star Trust Company is, of course, the trust company where I work with facilitating the precious metals IRAs. I have worked with them and their predecessor since 1991. It's been 20 years. I had only met physically any of the parties of the principals at Gold Star once, and that was about a year and a half ago, John Johnson, the president of Gold Star. And when the longtime manager of the division left the firm some years ago, he was replaced with a gal. She and I did not get along from the moment we first spoke. It was not good. But I just backed off, bided my time, took care of business as I am required to do, and in time helped Gold Star Trust out of some very intricate problems that were not of their causing. Also chastised them when there were some problems of their causing. And my friend up in Wisconsin, you know of what I speak of. In fact, you were part of the conversation last night, by the way. And I met the lady in question last night. Heather Adams is an amazingly gifted woman. I'll tell you what, she was a shocker, exquisite to look at. She looked very similar to Sarah Palin, except better looking. I don't know who's trying to call me, folks, but, you know, being on the air, we can't talk to anybody. So somebody's trying to call here. That's the second call here. Watch this. I am on the air at the present time. You're not. I'll be off the air in 45 minutes. Give us a call back then. Thanks. My great friend Rachel Besner, who has become my number one go-to gal at Gold Star, was at the dinner. I was so pleased to meet her. I had a lot of responsibility for her getting the job that she currently has, as I was wrote quite a letter of recommendation based on the fact she'd come over from another division. But it was quite an interesting meeting. We had multiple conversations about this business of the government going after the 401ks and the pensions and the IRAs, and these are things we're trying to address, and we'll certainly be talking about these as time goes on. But it was not my intent to get off on that discussion, but not working on the websites last night, I did not do an update to the next part of our ongoing series we're posting at republictradinggroupinternational.com. It was my intent to kind of take a little bit of a break from that last night, go in with some headlines. I did not get home until well after 11 p.m. last night, and frankly was absolutely bushed or Clintonized or Obamanized or some darn things. But I came across several very, very interesting columns dealing with this issue of Wiener and this Muslim wife of his. And I received a very interesting commentary from my good friend Angie Carlson late last night on this very issue. So it's nothing I'm going to take a lot of time discussing today. The guy is probably a slime ball. He is, according to one of the New York Daily publications, I think the headline said, "I'm a schmuck." Well, yeah, a schmuck means you're a dirty one, but the fact of the matter is that, in my estimation, you're a putz, which means a very little one. And if you want to get a good laugh out of that, go to federalobserver.com, scroll down until you see the picture of Sarah Palin, and take a look at the headline. It answers my opinion of the whole thing. So that's the end of that side of our conversation for today, which serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever, but to let you know that, yeah, I'm constantly working. Amongst the probably the single biggest problem that Barack Obama faces in his campaign for reselection. I think the conversation came out at the dinner table last night that Barack Obama may, in fact, well be toast. There's many of those things. Russ says there's alternate spellings of Khan. There's Khan, K-O-H-N. There's C-O-H-N. There's Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. It goes on and on. Anyway, so the discussion at the dinner table last night was of the general belief that, and the two gals, Rachel and Heather, don't really like to get involved in the political conversation. But the other gentleman that was at the table, he and I got into it very deeply. He said, well, where are you on the radio? What station? You know, I said, well, they ain't going to let me on regular radio because I broadcast to the good guys over at RBN. So hopefully you're out there listening tonight. Unemployment, the economy in general, is probably amongst the biggest problems that Barack Obama faces, other than the fact that he kind of has slapped Israel in the face a number of times. Not that I disagree with his slapping, but the reality factor states that you do not, as a politician in America, speak out against Israel, or you are toast, politically speaking. Well, we're facing a big problem in here with unemployment across the board, but there's some interesting federal data out there right now that shows very troubling unemployment and underemployment trends. Less than half of African-American men now have full-time jobs, and less than half of all white men will have full-time jobs by 2018. That, according to a post-2000 trends hidden in federal population and workforce data. Remember, we just finished the census last year. Accordingly, there are roughly 14 million people formally labeled as unemployed. But there's probably, according to what I'm sharing with you, between 22 and 23 million people who are unemployed, malemployed, or underemployed. All of that is reported by Andrew Sum, an economics professor at Northeastern University in, of all places, Boston. I took care of you with that, Heather. The hidden data shows that we've got an overwhelming job gap that affects men more than women. Less educated men more than better educated men, and the group aged 25 to 29 the most. One startling result, he stated, is that only 43% of black men, or what he refers to as African-American men, aged 18 to 29, have a full-time job. Well, let's take a quick shortcut out of here and understand that an awful lot of them have been weaned on the government tit. And it's just a heck of a lot easier to do it that way. Why should I work when I can get all these benefits without working? Now, according to T. Willard Fair, head of the Urban League of Greater Miami, he recently advertised two janitorial jobs via the unemployment office in his local town of Liberty City. That city's 85% African-American, yet only two of the 33 applicants were African-American. The remainder were Hispanics or Haitians. People want to work, and if they can find jobs, they would take these jobs. But blacks are no longer even applying for those kind of jobs, or have concluded that they're not going to get those jobs. Now, there's recently been a run of bad news about unemployment trends. That has damaged the White House's poll ratings. But the federal government's unemployment estimate, now at 9.1%, counts only a portion of the nation's non-working population. That's because 9.1% counts only people who have sought work in the last 4 weeks and have failed to find employment of 35 hours or more per week. The count obscures the fact that many people have unwillingly ended their participation in the workforce. You see, the employment population ratio is a standard economic term that describes the percentage of work-ready people, people who do have jobs. Ignores people who cannot work because they're in prison or nursing homes or full-time education. Of course, that's kind of a joke because we all know that people in prison have full-time jobs. Below slave wages. The employment population ratio is a standard economic term. I love that. Standard economic term. in practice, this ratio of working people cannot go much higher than 85%, because some of the people who can work choose to retire or to consume savings or to rely on, you got it, the government tit. I hope that's offensive to you, but that's what it is. In the year 2000, the employment population ratio for male black university graduates reached a high percent of 81%. Employment population ratio for male black university grads reached a high of 81%, or 87% if the calculation included grads working in part-time jobs. That full-time employment came at the tail end of the dot-com bubble, which burst in '01 and before the midpoint of an immigration wave. At least 15 million legal and illegal immigrants, mostly young and unskilled, entered the country between 1994 and 2007. What do you think happened? Since 2000, for most groups, for most of the time, the employment population ratio has continually fallen to levels far below 80%, even before the current recession. Now, that according to government data that was analyzed and sent to the D.C., by the Northeastern's sum. The full-time employment population ratio for white men fell from 62% in 2000 to 55% by 2010. That's a drop of 7% in 10 years. If that drop continues at the same rate, less than half the whites will be working in this country by the year 2018. And if part-time workers are included, the ratio started at 74% in 2000, fell to 67% in 2010. And among all African-American men aged more than 16, the full-time ratio fell from 56.9% to 46.4% in just 10 years. And the inclusion of part-time work bumps the ratio upwards, but the ratio still fell from 67% to 58% in 2010. Now, people with extra education qualifications are more likely to be working than those with few skills or qualifications. For example, the full-time employment population ratio for whites without high school qualifications fell from a 2000 high of 35% to a 2010 low of only 27%. Now, if you throw in part-time work, the 2010 ratio for white dropouts was 39%. And among blacks who left high school without qualifications, the full-time ratio, well, look, none of it's any good. You understand? We can sit there, the blacks, the whites, the browns, the greens, the yellows. The fact of the matter is there are far too many indicators that the blacks and the whites in this country are getting cut out of jobs left and right, no matter what skill level. These steep declines among younger people is especially painful, because it takes many years for unemployed youths to ever catch up to the experience and wages of steadily employed peers. In turn, that earning shortfall makes it less likely they will marry the woman they make pregnant, less likely they'll serve as beneficial fathers to their children, and more likely their children will fall even further behind than their fathers did. The employment ratio among whites is usually higher than the ratio among blacks, but both are trending downwards. The ratio among the Hispanic population usually fell somewhere between Caucasian and African-American ratios. Well, African-American's not a race, okay? Caucasian is a race. Negro is a race. African-American is, well, that's a different story. But you see, the Hispanic numbers conceals an insignificant or a significant split. The workforce ratio of U.S.-born Hispanics is lower than that of immigrant Hispanics. That according to government data shown by Steve Camerata, a researcher at the Center for Immigration Studies. Late 2010, almost 40% of the U.S.-born Hispanic high school dropout grads unemployed, but also 30% of immigrant Hispanic dropouts were unemployed. Among the 18 to 29-year-old high school grads, the unemployment rate for U.S.-born Hispanics was 35%, Among similar Hispanic groups, the unemployment rate was 27%. Who is paying for all these people to survive? Who's paying for their education? Who's paying for their health, their education, their welfare, their food, their housing experiences, etc., their housing arrangements? You and I are paying for it. Those who systemically send their hard-earned dollars into the government or who have it taken from them from the government. You know, I just, this is simply amazing. Simply amazing. I'm really amazing. The email responses I'm getting today from our good friend Mike, who says 63% of blacks are unemployed. And Russ says, I needed to use the bathroom when I went to the bank today, but they told me their restrooms were for employees only. I had to go bad, so I applied for a job. That's a good way to do it. South Carolina Representative James Clyburn, the most influential Negro legislator in Congress. And I'm sorry if that offends some of you, but that's reality. Oh, the article calls him an African-American, and that's all right, but there's that hyphenated crap again. Make up your mind. You're an African or you're American. James Clyburn's probably never set foot in Africa, and the only bit of African blood he has goes back many, 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 many generations. He's an American of color, of Negro heritage. But he is the most influential. He's been an outspoken advocate for programs designed to boost employment among African Americans and other workers. Now trying to pass language that would require every federal agency direct 10% of their budgets to counties that have 20% of their populations living below the poverty line for 30 years. He says if targeted investments are made in these communities, we will begin to see a turnaround in the unemployment rate of all minority groups. That's a bunch of crap, Mr. Clyburn. History has proven in this nation today you don't resolve and solve the problem by throwing more money after it, specifically money you don't have. It's time to cut off the welfare state. It's time to say, look, you don't have the right to go out and pop out 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 children just for the purposes of getting making a lot of money off the state. It's how it's done in this country. Not necessarily by racial guidelines, but an awful lot of that is the case. It's time to cut off the teat of government. Two kids, you got no way of supporting them. Guess what, baby? You're cut off. It's time to get off your black assets and get a job. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy. the best you can buy. Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
You know, I made a comment just before the break that I will not apologize for. I know that we have people of color who listen to this network, both of Hispanic, Latino background, also those of Negroid or African-American or black heritage or background, if you will. I don't say these things to offend people. I'm going to assume that most of the people that I just mentioned that are listening to this network are very much of like mind. These are people who work hard for what they get. You know, they're not sitting back there sucking up off the government boob. You know, they're not sitting back there taking the welfare, the unemployment, the housing. They're not cranking out kids as fast as they can so that they can pick up $1,500 a month in welfare payments, et cetera, et cetera. My grandfather's, we all called her Cousin Polly. She was like a great aunt, whatever the case may be. Polly Cole worked in Illinois for, in effect, the welfare department for years. And one day, a woman walked in. She had recently moved to the state from another state to apply for welfare assistance in Illinois. And Cousin Polly was interviewing her. Asked the woman how many children you got. She said, well, I's got eight children. Now, I don't care where you go in this country. If it's in New York, Mississippi, Georgia, Detroit, Chicago, Washington State, or right here in Arizona. I don't know what it is that there is a particular way of speaking that black people happen to have. And it's based more on street slang than anything else. And it's just insanity to me. But when the woman tells her she had eight children, and my cousin Polly asked her, what is the father's name? She said, what is your husband's name? She said, husband? Well, I ain't never been married. And she realized at that point that here's a woman with eight kids that literally is living off the government dole, which means you and I. Now, I feel badly for people who are in a particular plight, and no matter what color they are, whether it's lost job or foreclosure homes or inability to feed the families, whatever, you know, these programs were all designed for short-term assistance. Even Clinton came up with a program that was designed to get people off welfare and back to work. But all of that's gone to hell. That's a great political ploy. But the fact of the matter is you can come up with all these programs politically to put people back to work, but so long as the government tit remains, the government handouts are there. with the cheese and the surplus peanut butter and all the junk. And don't worry about it. We'll feed your kids. We'll clothe them. You know, we'll put them to school. We'll, and then what? Then they feed them hamburgers at school that are made with formaldehyde? Because that's what's going on. So Clyburn is then asked about the impact of the 15 million, which most of us know is somewhere between 30 and 40 and God knows how many, immigrants or illegals on the workforce. Clyburn says that he doesn't believe immigration plays a role in this systemic problem in this country. But immigration is central to the problem. Even James Carville, who was Bill Clinton's cutthroat dog. I've learned to like James Carville over the years. I like what the man says. There's no nonsense about him. He says what he believes, and he's got the facts to back it up. That doesn't necessarily mean agree with everything he says, but that's something I respect about Carville. And he warns that civil unrest is imminently possible in this country if the job picture does not improve. All of these illegals, by the way, and specifically the 15 million that the sum, S-U-M, is talking about, they claim arrived during a period when the United States produced only 15 million additional jobs. Now, the article goes on to talk about immigrants. Let's call most of them what they are, illegal aliens, especially Hispanic. They can win new jobs quickly because they're more motivated than U.S.-born workers and because they're often directly recruited for new jobs by informal transnational networks. They're also freer to move to any part of the country where new jobs are appearing, unlike so-called citizens who tend to stay in the communities they know, even when there are few jobs. Now, in Congress, the Reclaim American Jobs Caucus was formed in 2010 by Republican Representatives LeVar Smith, Gary Miller, and Sue Myrick to boost enforcement of immigration rules. And according to the report, it said 7 million illegal aliens have jobs in our economy that should go to U.S. citizens and legal immigrant workers. And yet Clyburn and other African-American legislators in the Congressional Black Caucus, God forbid if there's something called the Congressional White Caucus, they're avoiding the immigration issue because they've made a strategic alliance with the Hispanic activists and legislators. They don't want to talk about the issue. Every single Congressional Black Caucus member wants to change the subject the minute you bring it up. There's a new book called Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise, which will be published, as a matter of fact, today. The book has chapters on immigration and how African-American political activists have deceived large numbers of African-Americans to support policies that are against their interests. And yet down on the street, African-Americans are opposed to this invasion of America by illegals. Out of the earshot of others, when you can scratch that itch, the conversation is hostile. They blame their own leadership for not doing anything about it. And yet, when it comes election day in 2012, how many of those so-called African Americans that have been lied to, screwed, blued, and tattooed by their own so-called leaders? Oh, not just the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and the Charlie Rangels, but the entirety of the Congressional Black Caucus is lying to their own people. And yet, they'll continue to reelect the same people. Those people will vote for Obama because he's a better liar than the Republican candidates are. And yet, a letter coming out of Salisbury, Maryland, from one Carl E. Blizzard, Jr. Now, this was in response to a column that had been posted in a publication in Worcester County. He says a front page story about the additional cost to Worcester County schools caused by students sneaking into them from outside the country does not even begin to cover all the additional costs encountered, Nowhere in the article is there mention of the number of illegal aliens who attend our schools at no cost to themselves. It is perfectly understandable that every school system is having trouble with their current budgets when you take into consideration that each illegal costs us about $12,000 a year. That's just in their state, ladies and gentlemen, in Maryland. The cost to taxpayers will only increase if this situation is not corrected, Blizzard goes on. There are billions of dollars spent each year throughout this country on the education of illegal aliens. Our children will pay the price for this overload with a lowered level of education. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you we have already experienced that lowered level of education. Because the more people they can pass through that school system, the more money that school district gets from the federal government. And the more federal money the states get from the federal government, which is to say they're getting it from us. The state of Maryland, Blizzard goes on, has passed a law that allows illegal aliens, if they wish to attend college here, to pay the same tuition as a citizen of this state pays. A legal citizen from out of state must pay a higher tuition rate. The cost of health care and insurance has gone up for the same reason, when our government has guaranteed free health care and education and welfare to illegal aliens. Someone's got to cover the cost. Guess who? If illegal aliens are to be overlooked, then the federal government will have to stop giving billions of our dollars to other countries to raise their standards of living and keep that money where it belongs. Here at home, we come first. Now, having shared that with you, comments from Granny, who says that when your local school district says it needs more money, tell them to eliminate the illegals from the rooms and they will have a lot more money without having to raise taxes on any of us. When one stops spending money on those items that are not necessities in life, then you automatically increase your assets. Look about your house, find things that are using instead of producing, and you might find you are richer than you thought. Sort of like turning off all electrical appliances and lights when you ain't using them. Your light bill goes down, your bank account goes up. If your neighbor wants to use the fridge, the freezer, the TV, the stove and hairdryer, etc., then the neighbor can foot the bill for those items. It ain't your responsibility to pay so the neighbor can have a better life. Let Mexico pay for its own family in Mexico. Don't tell me it's the law that we have to pay for invaders. Some corrupt politicians made that a law, so let us undo that corrupt law. And finally, if you want me to drive it home, I know this started out talking about the disparity in employment for whites and blacks and Hispanics, as it were. And I don't even like using the term Hispanics. Let's talk about illegals in particular. I don't care what country they come from. But here is a report filed today by my friend Kimberly Dvorak. Here's today's headline. Nearly 9 out of 10 Latino babies born in the United States rely on WIC. That, according to La Raza, the race. La Raza sent out an email blast this week to their supporters urging them to demand that their local lawmakers save our babies, stop extreme cuts to the WIC program. The La Raza email blast pointed out that nearly 9 out of 10 Latino infants born in the United States participated in WIC in 2008. The program has been especially important for Hispanic expectant mothers who are less likely to have access to prenatal care and medical information. That, according to Jennifer Nyagandu, deputy director for the health policy project for La Raza. With the economic health of the country at risk and states drowning in red ink, many lawmakers have turned to popular programs as a way to solve their budget shortfalls. You see, the Food and Nutrition WIC program began in 1972, was made permanent in 1974 by Republican President Richard Nixon. The WIC program is administered by the federal government through the Food and Nutrition Service of the United States Department of Agriculture. WIC provides food, nutrition counseling, access to health services to low-income women, infants, and children. However, it is the ever-increasing Latino population in the United States that relies heavily on the government tit. And what's the percentage of those who are illegal invaders that came to this country for one purpose, to drop the kid to get the freebies that you and I are forking out for? The National Council of La Raza contends that Hispanic families were the hungriest families in 08 and say that Latino children make up nearly 40% of all children living with hunger. Naganda said the last thing we need to do is take food out of the mouths of vulnerable mothers and babies and young children. Let me tell you something. Come to Arizona. All these illegals running around, they're fat. They're obese. They ain't hungry. They ain't starving. And if they are, they can go back to Mexico and get their tacos and burritos down there. You'll never see them going into McDonald's or Burger King. They all go to Taco Bell. An awful lot of state WIC programs hand out vouchers to participants that they can use at approximately 46,000 authorized food stores nationwide. And my daughter, who for a short term had to go get food assistance, was given for herself and two children a paltry $119 a month. But she knows of Hispanics with one child that are drawing close to $700 a month for the same program. What the hell is wrong here? And now to tie it all back in, you begin to see why there is this disparity in the employment numbers in this country. And why by 2018, less than half the whites in this country that are eligible to work will even be able to work. The blacks are already there. And the black leadership is doing nothing to take care of their own people. But then you see, that angers me, this whole mentality of their own people. We're all Americans. I think, whatever the hell that means anymore, Roger will be with us tomorrow. We'll discuss that more in depth. Think about this stuff. It is pure insanity. Absolute pure insanity. Ay, 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 ay. This is what we fight. This is where America's tax dollars are going to. Granny's right. All of these things are by plan. Russ says more than half the babies born in America today are not Caucasian. George W. Bush said, quote, our nation's strength lies in its diversity. Just think how strong our country will be 50 years from now. Michael, thank you for your comment, because I think it hits the nail on the head more than anything. Michael says the standard argument doled up by the bureaucracy for welfare is that without it, we're hurting the children. Well, that may be true, but that's not our fault. I did not go down to Mexico and impregnate all these millions of women who come up here to have a kid. And gee, as long as you're across the border having one, here's my number. Give me a call. I'll knock you up again in 9 more months. Hey, let's make 6 or 7 or 8 little rugrats, huh? I'll show you how to make a... Tell you what, lady, I'll knock you up every year or so. You have another kid, and you share about a third of the money with me. Well, I could set up a heck of a business. I'd be dead. This is amazing. Simply amazing. Economics in America today, you and I are paying for it. You think your kid's going to get a job? You think your grandkid's going to get a job? And I don't care what color he is. The jobs are going to those incarcerated in prison. Bill O'Brien's talked about that with me for 6, 7 years now. And the other jobs are going to people that don't have a legal right to even be here because they refuse to stand in line and come in the front door. They want to sneak in the back door and then demand their rights. I'm sick of paying for it. Now, let us move on. It's amazing the number of emails I get while the program is on. I've had quite a few phone calls this evening. that have come into my office. I can't answer them because I'm on the air. I'm going to have messages. We've got a couple of really great special offerings. Republic Trading Group International tonight. They're all over at the website, republictradinggroupinternational.com. And for a lot of you, that's just too long of a name to remember. Hey, you go to Robbie's site. He's got a link coming over to it. Wake up. We work together. We're a team. That's what's wrong in this country. Nobody knows how to be a team player. Everybody's got to, they all think they're opera singers. Me, 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 me. That ain't the way it works here. We got two spectacular packages. One is in the gold arena. We've taken a few orders already, but the numbers of the gold pieces available on the site today are excessively limited. When they are gone, they are gone. Okay? Swiss 20-franc Helvetica's pre-1933, guaranteed every single one of them. I've acquired them from one of our clients. We're making them available directly to you through this program tonight. If you're only going to purchase one, two, three, four coins, whatever the case may be, you know what? It's going to cost you $323 a coin. I remember when Robbie and I years ago were selling these very coins for $75 each. $75 a piece. Now they're $323. That's if you're just buying a few coins. You want to pick up that 20 coin pack. Look, I cut the deal with my supplier when spot was $1,523.90 an ounce. Right now, it's $1,526.60. Gold is up $3 an ounce since I cut this deal. That's the locked-in guaranteed price. I'm not going to up you when you call tonight or send me an email. Gold at republictradinggroupinternational.com. You tell me how many of those coins you want. You want a 20-pack? $320 a coin. It's $6,400. As a matter of fact, I'll cut you a sweet deal. If you purchase over 10 coins, I'll make sure you've got that $320 price. If you order 40 or more coins, if we've got enough left to sell, we'll drop the price to $317. You'll get a free year's subscription to Bob Chapman's International Forecaster Newsletter. You'll get a renewal, a gift subscription. If you want to help the network, just take the free shipping. We're glad to do that. But if you've never subscribed to Chapman's Newsletter, I'm more than happy to pay for it. I want you to have it. Those of you renewing or looking for gift subscriptions, do the network a favor right now. We need the help. Take the free shipping. On the silver side, and this is also posted over at the site, we've got three exquisite silver pieces available. These happen to be commemorative coins, but we're not selling them based on rarity and scarcity. I'm selling these for less money than circulated XFAU Morgan dollars are going for right now. If you could find Morgan dollars or Peace dollars in the same exact condition as these three coins that are depicted on the website, the 1996 Ellis Island Commemorative, which commemorated the anniversary and the discovery of and the opening of Ellis Island. We all know what Ellis Island was about. It was the pathway to America legally. But they've shut all that those damn things down. It's just easier to open up the borders and let every schmuck come in that wants to take from us. Those who came through Ellis Island traditionally came here and gave to America. They didn't take. The 1987 U.S. Constitution commemorative silver dollar. You look at the pictures. Go to the website, republictradinggroupinternational.com. Go to the treasure hunt. Commemorated the 200th anniversary of the signing of the U.S. Constitution. In 1787, and also the Boy Scouts of America commemorative silver dollar. If you found the same quality, the same condition in a Morgan dollar, you would pay multiples over what these are selling for. We sell them by the roll, 20 coins for $863. Shipping's flat $20, okay? If all you can afford is 5 coins, 10 coins, I'll mix and match them. We've only got 146 of the Constitution pieces available, only 20 of the Ellis Islands. I can't remember the number of the pieces we have on the Boy Scouts. It's not a lot, maybe 72 or something like that. Point is, it's silver, same money. Call us tonight, 1-800-691-7898. Let me know what you want in the way of silver. Every bit of this helps the network out, but guess what? It puts silver in your hand, puts gold in your hand. You heard Robbie talking about where gold and silver are going to go. Oh, a lot of you don't believe it right now because, oh, it's taken such a bath. It's taken such a bath. Good. We're in the summer doldrums. Buy it now and put it away. Come fall, you'll be kissing my assets. Hippie tells me they can give all this money to illegals, but they cannot or will not give Social Security recipients a piddly little cost of living raise. The rainy days are coming, baby. Get out the umbrella. That's the reason for the gold and silver. Not the Midas touch, not getting greedy, not, you know, how rich you're going to become, but that gain and that growth that you're going to receive is going to allow you to weather an awful lot of storms. So, it's been a good hour. It's been a fast hour. I appreciate all of those of you who've been here. I thank you for sharing your valuable time with me tonight. You guys take care of yourself. We'll be back tomorrow night with Roger Sales. Coming up Thursday night, my friend Ramsey Baruth will be joining us, giving you the other side of the story of what's really going on in Gaza. Until that time, my friends, have a good evening, will you? Good night.
Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you. Yes, I got you. I got you. And all that jazz. And all that jazz.
The next round of the worst financial